السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس، الصحة والفراغ، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. عمر ہو رہی ہے مثل برف کم، عمر ہو رہی ہے مثل برف کم، چپکے چپکے رفتہ رفتہ دم بدم. علماء کرام، most respected elders and brothers, these couplets of poetry we heard from the lips of our late Hazrat Bawai Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali on many occasions from this very pulpit, in this very masjid. And inshallah we will center our little talk today around this particular theme. We know that, mashallah, we are now currently in the month of Dhul Hijjah. Allah had granted us the opportunity to partake in the great ibadah of Qurbani. And we heard the many bayans and the many talks and the many advices in relation to this great amal of Qurbani. And what was the objective and the spirit of this Qurbani? It was not really the meat or the flesh or the blood that had reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather it was that spirit, the taqwa, with which we performed that qurbani, which was appreciated by Allah jalla wa ala. Similarly, we find that soon the month of Dhul Hijjah will terminate, and if Allah grants us life, a new year will commence. The month of Muharram, which is a sacred and an auspicious month. And we do not have time to go into the details of the month of Muharram, but some lessons that we can learn with regards to the month of Muharram, with regards to the dawning of a new Islamic calendar. And the one aspect that we need to keep in mind is that we are, and we identify ourselves as Muslims. And it is important for us to maintain our identity and our heritage. We identify ourselves with the deen of Islam, and on the plains of Arafah, the verses of the Quran and Majid that were revealed, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. The gist of these verses, that Allah had perfected the deen of Islam. So this deen of Islam was a perfect way of life. And therefore we should identify ourselves as Muslims. We should be proud of our heritage as Muslims. And this is something that we need to maintain, and we need to keep within our families and within our structures. There are many people who do not even follow the lunar calendar. They do not even know which month it is. So again, we remind ourselves that we are Muslims first. It is the month of Muharram, will be coming very soon. It is a new calendar. So this is the first aspect, that always maintaining our heritage, identifying ourselves as Muslims, being proud of our heritage and our deen, and what a beautiful deen and heritage it is. Just on the lighter note with regards to the month of Muharram, again we will quote as Imam Nisab rahmatullahi alayhi, who quoted his sheikh. He used to say that look at the Islamic calendar, it starts off with Muharram. And this Muharram has got a meaning, one of the meanings is sanctified and sacred and respected. So he said the deen of Islam teaches us respect. We respect our elders. We respect the ulama. We respect the mashayikh. The deen is filled with respect. We respect the masjid. We respect the Quran and Majid. But if you look at the way of the West, then you will see, he used to say that it starts with January. And in Urdu, Janwar ka matlab, animal. January. So he was to try and explain to us and try to drive the point home that we have such a beautiful way of life. And then he's to say that those people who left the ghulami, jisne Allah ki ghulami ko chhod diya, to Allah ta'ala ne unko kutte ka ghulam bana diya. That those people who abandoned the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did not want to become the ghulam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah made them the ghulam of dogs. Then you find many of them, they even will make sure that some percentage of the inheritance will be given to their dogs. And they are so attached to these animals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful way of life, such a beautiful heritage, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills our heart with true appreciation for this great deen of Islam. So this is one of the lessons that we can learn from this Muharram and the dawn of a new calendar. The other important lesson that we learn is that the Islamic calendar had commenced upon the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It could have commenced on so many other things that were significant in Islam. It is undisputed that the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an extremely significant event. The demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a significant moment in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or for that matter, the Battle of Badr was a significant moment. It was a defining moment in Islam. Or for that matter, the conquest or the victory of Makkatul Mukarramah was a substantial moment in the history of Islam. But we find that the calendar, it was linked to the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing how important this hijrah was. And there is great relevance and lessons that we can learn from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the migration of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we can just, for a few moments, just analyze this. That here we have the sahaba ikiram, the noble companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with the Nabi of Allah, going through hardships and trials and tribulations and torture, mockery. It was becoming difficult for them to practice their deen. And they sacrificed everything. Some of them left behind their assets and their homes and their livestock. And they entered Madinatul Munawwara, if we may say, as completely poor people. Foreigners entering a new land with no assets, with no wealth. And then we know the history of how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam created the brotherhood within Madinatul Munawwara, where the Ansar, the people of Medina, then assisted the Muhajirin. But Allah ta'ala praised this great act of worship or this great sacrifice of the Sahaba Ikiram, this hijrah. And Allah ta'ala had elevated the ranks such that those who did not migrate did not reach the rank of those who migrated for the pleasure of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, with regards to hijrah, and this perhaps is applicable to us, that al-muhajiru man hajara al-khataya wal-dhunub. That indeed that hijrah was a great hijrah, and no one can ever compare to those sahaba ikiram. But each and every person can engage in some hijrah in some way or the other. Some migration in some way or the other. Some sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah in some way or the other. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this effect has mentioned that who is the true muhajir? Who is the true migrator? Al-muhajiru man hajara al-khataya wal-dhunuba is that person who migrates, who moves away from a life of disobedience, from a life of violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards a life of reward and eternal investments. And this, respected elders and brothers, is something that we need to make a firm resolution. They say, make New Year resolutions. What is your New Year resolution? So these are the New Year resolutions that we should be making. That I need to migrate. Perhaps I got the quality of being, very temperamental. So I will make hijrat from a being temperamental to being a calm individual. Perhaps I'm a person who's very, attached to my wealth. So I will migrate from this attachment to the wealth to detaching my heart to this wealth. Doesn't mean that the person must give away all his wealth. As Mawlana Sahib rahmatullah gave such a beautiful example. He used to say that you get, in those days you have the envelopes that if you needed to send, and in those days of course, those who are older will appreciate what I'm saying, but if the person wanted to send a letter to someone abroad, then it was the entire process. The person had to write the letter out by hand, and then that letter had to be folded and placed in the envelope, and then the stamp had to be purchased, and then the person would go to perhaps the local post office, and then that letter will take a good few weeks and sometimes months depending on where it's going, until eventually the person, receives the mail. So correspondence will take a very long period of time, and sometimes what would happen is that letter would be compromised along the way. People would open it and see if there's any money inside, and the money would get stolen. But today, subhanAllah, look at how things have changed. That the person will send a correspondence from one part of the globe to another part, and in a matter of seconds, the person receives it. And in fact, people get frustrated. That you send it 2 minutes ago, it's still, I haven't received it. It's taking too long. One person told me, Maulana, I want them to come check my internet connection because it's taking a bit too long by the time it reaches. As in those days, it used to take much longer before any correspondence reached. But in any case, you find that the letters and the envelopes were also designed such that, it was very hard to open it. So if you try to open the envelope, you would completely tear it. And people would then know that, look, somebody had, interfered with this mail. But Maulana Rahmatullah explained that you also get the envelopes, and today you'll find them, that this envelope can be, opened and closed a few times. The glue is more of a light type of a glue. So Maulana used this as an example. He used to say that, look, when it comes to the worldly wealth that you have, there will be an attachment. If there's no attachment, then that too is, we would say it's abnormal. If a person loses his child, loses his near and dear one, and if you go and visit the person to console him, and he's not showing any emotions, then that too we would say that this is not normal. Is there anyone who had a greater level of, if we may say, rada bil qada, submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yet it is mentioned that the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shed tears upon the demise of his beloved son, upon the demise of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed his feeling and his emotion. It is the haq and the right of the one that has passed away. So now the person feels that pain of separation. This is normal. It is not abnormal. Some people also feel that when you become pious now, you have to become abnormal. The person doesn't even smile any longer. You meet the person now, he feels that the piety means that I must be as serious as possible because I've got qiyamah in front of me and a jannat on the right hand side, jahannam on the left hand side. So I'm focused. This is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that whenever the sahaba ikram met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a cheerful countenance. And similarly, when the Rasul of Allah will enter the home, there would be happiness when he would enter the home. So Hazrat used to say that you find that one envelope is such that the attachment is so intense that when you now try to separate it, it tears. And with the second envelope, when you separate it, then you find that it can detach. There is some, you know, resistance, there is some attachment, but you are able to separate it. Mawlana used to say that our attachment to the dunya should be like that. It shouldn't be such that we are so attached to the things of this world that we cannot separate. It's hard for us to separate from our car and from our cell phone and from our wealth. That kind of an attachment is harmful. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Now how do we develop that detachment? Inshallah the ulama ikram will explain. But one of the ways is a point which inshallah which we'll be discussing in a few moments. But this is another very important aspect with regards to migrating. And we have mentioned for those brothers who are arriving now that one of the lessons of the dawning of a new Islamic calendar is this hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And each and every one of us can make some hijrah in some way or the other. Yes, there is a qurbani that we have to make. And mashallah, we just came out of qurbani now. We came out of qurbani. So this is the qurbani that we will make. That perhaps I am very attached to my wealth. Now my qurbani, I will make hijrah from a place of an attachment to a place of detachment. That I will learn to detach my heart from this wealth. I will use this wealth. We need this wealth. Hazrat Shah Akim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah, used to say that some people say must kick the dunya. Kick the dunya. So he used to say that if kicking the dunya means that the person cannot use dunya at all, then where will he get the strength in the first place to kick the dunya if he doesn't use it at all? He has to use dunya in order to get the energy to be able to kick it aside. Shunning the dunya means that we do not allow it to enter the heart. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi gives a very beautiful example. He says that that ship will reach its destination so long as the water is kept outside the ship. But the ship requires the water to sail. If we say that we must remove the water completely, then how will the ship reach from point A to point B? So the ship does require the water, but so long as the water does not enter the ship will reach its destination. In the same way, we need dunya. But we must not allow this dunya to enter and infiltrate the deepest recesses of our hearts. That deep recess of our hearts must be for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the love of the tilawat of the Quran and Majid, for the love of sacrificing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what our heart is left for. So nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, this is another important lesson that we will make some resolution. That Ya Allah, I will make hijrah from a place of miserliness to a place of generosity. I will make hijrah from a place of judging other people to a place where I will judge myself first and not have the time to judge others. I will be taking muhasaba of myself every single day. I mentioned in one place that that person who is focusing on his own weaknesses, where will he ever have the time to look at the weaknesses of others? Where will he have the time? As a Shah, Marana Hakim al-Ummah, Mujaddid al-Millah, Hazrat Marana Ashraf Ali Sahib Tanvi Rahmatullah used to say that whenever I give a bayan, he said the first thing I do is I look at some weakness that I have within myself. And then I deliver that bayan and he said, Alhamdulillah, I noticed that it has an impact. But this is one of the things that when he was giving the bayan, he was actually addressing himself. He was not looking at the weaknesses of the others who were around him. He was actually addressing himself. Sometimes we find that the person gives a bayan. Generally speaking, you'll find this, that the musallis come out of that bayan traumatized. They feel as if they completely lost all hope. One of the beautiful qualities of our late Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was this, that if you sat in his bayan, towards the end of the bayan, when you would come out from the masjid, you would feel motivated. You would feel as if I need to do something. You would feel like you have the energy and you have the courage. And you have the potential to do it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with those qualities. We are absolutely nowhere near, but it is a lesson for us. Nevertheless, this aspect of hijrah, it is something Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who is the true muhajir? Al-muhajiru man hajara al-khataya wa-dhunuba. And just to add on to this point with regards to attachment to this world, and again, we can also tie it up to this element of the passing of time. That yes, we find a person, some people celebrate the birthday. Actually, if we really look at it, is it really a moment of celebration? If I have to look at myself and say that 1 year has passed of my life, am I closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has my relationship with Allah ta'ala strengthened? Am I more prepared to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have I fulfilled the rights of everyone in this past year? Have I, you know, can I tick all the boxes with regards to my deeds and my actions? The reality is, if I have to look at my own life, then I would be shedding a few tears. That, Ya Allah, you gave me this opportunity. You gave me that opportunity. But yet, I didn't take advantage of these opportunities. I violated the rights of this person and that person. I didn't perform the salah in the manner that I should have performed my salah. There was so much of negligence and weaknesses in my salah. Oh Allah, forgive me. There would be tears of regret and remorse. It would not be a moment of celebration. It would really be a moment of reflection, a moment of, if we may say, regret and remorse over the lost opportunities that we may have had. And this is something that we as believers need to be doing. We need to be taking stock of our lives. And this is why we quoted the couplets of Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Majzub rahmatullah alayh, where he has mentioned, ke umr ho rahi hai mithl barf kam, that your life is melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. Chupke chupke, rafta rafta, dam ba dam, silently, consistently, it is melting away. And therefore each person needs to take stock of his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. There are two bounties in which people are fall into deception. And this is one of the ploys and the tricks of shaitan. That shaitan, the person is now living presently. But shaitan will make the person focus on what is coming ahead. Or shaitan will make the person become fixated over the past. So for example, if the person is had led a life of sin, shaitan will say, you know, you, whatever the Morana is saying, there's no hope for you. This is not for you now. You have committed so many sins. Chalo, this, you don't even need to pay attention to this bayan. You are far off. So shaitan makes the person give up hope. Give up hope that there's no chance. At that time, the person should address shaitan and should address his nafs. That if Allah Ta'ala was willing to forgive that person who had committed murder of 99 people, why will Allah Ta'ala not be willing to forgive me? Okay, no matter how far I may have gone from the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is waiting for me to turn. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who takes one step towards Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala takes 10 steps towards him. That person who walks towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala comes running to that person. So Allah Ta'ala is waiting to forgive us. Allah is waiting for that person to take one step. Allah Ta'ala wants us to change. Allah Ta'ala just wants to see that little effort from the person. Small effort you make, and Allah Ta'ala will pull the person towards you. It is what is termed as jazb. As Mu'ayyinu Sahib rahmatullah used to say, that Wallah, with your power of jazb, pull us towards you. Pull us towards you. And Allah, we have got that intention, we want to become yours. We want to develop your muhabbat. We want to develop the deep-hearted love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah, nafs and shaitan have kept us grounded on the floor. But Allah, we want to come towards you. And the person takes that one step, and Allah pulls the person towards him. So the person will address shaitan in that way, that if Allah was willing to forgive and accept the du'as of shaitan himself, that when shaitan made a du'a at a time when Allah was angry with him, Allah had commanded shaitan, usjudu li Adam, that you prostrate to Adam, ala nabina alayhi salatu wassalam, aba wastakbara, he refused the command of Allah ta'ala. But in that condition, he made dua, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Oh Allah, give me respite and life till the day of Qiyamah. Allah accepted his dua. If Allah could have accepted the dua of shaitan at the time when he was angry with him, why won't Allah accept our duas? Allah is more than willing to accept our duas. The other trick of shaitan would be that the shaitan will make the person focus on the future. The person will say, you know, I need to set up my children and my grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren. One person came to our late Mu'ayyinu Sahib rahmatullah. He said, Hazrat, I got a problem. My brother is insisting I must invest. I need to invest. So Maulana called that brother. He said, Abai, your brother doesn't even have enough money to buy a good vest. How is he going to invest? So shaitan will make the person, you know, prepare for the grandchildren and the great grandchildren, and the person continues in this struggle, continuously earning and earning and earning, one shop, two shops, three shops. Now this three shop, if I get a fourth shop, you look after the three shops. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if Ibn Adam has got a valley of gold, he will desire two. He will desire two valleys of gold. And nothing will fill the belly of Adam except the sand of the grave. So we need to live in the present, and I will terminate on this beautiful quote of our late Maulana Rahmatullah Ali. He used to say, the past is history. The past is history. The present is a present, and the future is a mystery. So beautiful this is. That whatever happened in the past, that is history. We'll make tawbah and istighfar over what happened. That, oh Allah, I know that I have wasted my time this year that has passed. I seek your forgiveness. But the present is a present. The present is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is given a gift, what does he do? He values that gift. He takes advantage of that gift. He appreciates that gift. In fact, even the psychologists, they speak about, you know, mindfulness. That the person needs to focus on the moment. People who suffer from depression or people who suffer from anxiety. So they say, learn to focus on what's happening at present. And in that too, there's so many other benefits that, for example, if the person is focused on what's happening at present, he'll listen to people more, you know, in a more focused way. Person is talking to us, but we're thinking about something else. So we are not even mindful of what is happening at present. So the present is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take advantage of whatever opportunities Allah ta'ala has granted you at the moment. Don't say tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. As Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi was advising one youngster that, bhai, you need to change your life now. So he said, Hazrat, I'm not ready for change. So he responded by saying, okay, Hazrat, when will you be ready? Before death or after death? So he said, no, Hazrat, before death. So he said, when is that death? So he said, I don't know. He said, if you don't know when that death is going to take place, the death can come right now, isn't it? So if death can come right now, then the time for change is now. Because tomorrow could be too late. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the opportunity to take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلْقٍ. Do not regard any good deed as insignificant, even if it means meeting your Muslim brother or your brother with a cheerful countenance. That you met that person in a cheerful way, in a happy way. You put happiness into that person's heart. Sometimes it is that small deed that the person does with such sincerity that becomes more powerful than, you know, such actions which appear to be very, very large. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to take advantage of these opportunities. May Allah alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in Gaza and wherever else the Muslims are going through hardships and difficulties. Allah alleviate the suffering. We make dua that Allah ta'ala maintains the stability and the security within our country, and Allah ta'ala blow the winds of hidayat in this country and throughout the continents. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.